Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Feedback. It is 8 minutes after 8 o'clock on this, the Friday version of our fine program. Special guest in the studio today is Congressman Sean Duffy. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Listen, before we start getting into the hot and heavy stuff, and I know it's going to get thick. Everybody knows, and you're not ashamed of this. Part of your history is being on The Real World.
Back in the day,
way back in the day when you were a young man.
When I never thought I'd run for politics.
Do you ever know the character Puck? Did you ever get introduced to him? Did you run into him?
So my wife Rachel, was on his season.
So we
got to know him a little bit. Why do you ask?
Today's his birthday. 47,
happy,
I believe.
Happy birthday, Puck.
Yeah.
And he's probably still picking his nose.
Was he as obnoxious and rude in real life as he was on show?
You know, I've met him. He's a nice guy. He really is. He's had some personal problems. But he and Rachel are very good friends. They still, talk, but I have nothing against Puck.
You're not answering the question.
He's good enough.
You didn't answer the question. All right. I understand. Okay. The big story this morning. There's two very important stories that are happening this morning in our world. The Malaysian downed airliner. This is probably one of the biggest stories. 298 people have perished on board that aircraft. It is appearing that it was Russian separatists that shot it down using a very complex missile system that, where'd they get that?
Where'd that come from?
It is equipment that is from Russia. You have to be trained by the Russians in order to use it. It's not, and this is something very, very important to understand, and this is a key aspect. We've all seen the footage of Middle Eastern war circumstances where you've got someone that launches some type of a mortar or a rocket from their shoulder. This is not one of those type of missile systems. This is a very complex, very sophisticated missile systems. It travels at 3 times the speed of sound. It took about 40 seconds to get from the ground to the aircraft, they're speculating, and blew it apart. This was a very significant breach. The other aspect of it is that it appears that it was a case of mistaken identity. Just after the after Malaysian Air lost contact with the airliner, a leader of the Russian separatists put a Facebook post out that they had just downed a Ukrainian supply aircraft. And then when it was identified that this was a passenger jet, that post was deleted. So this is looking like the Russian separatists were basically creating an act of war against the government of Ukraine, and they had a case of mistaken identity. And now Russia, Vladimir Putin from Moscow, is saying, no, it's not us. We didn't do this. That we have nothing to do with this. It's all those Ukrainians. See, they're wanting to rise up against, and they don't like what's going on with the people wanting to join back with Russia, which they don't. He's blaming Ukraine. Ukraine is blaming Russia. This is a big issue. And I know you're coming in cold on this. I know you're getting information just as sketchy as we are at the time. Any feedback from your colleagues in D.C. right now about the severity of this and what needs to be done?
Well, again, as you mentioned, we are going to get information probably when we get back to D.C. next week. But right now, we're receiving information just like you are. But to your point, the Russian separatists don't get this kind of high-tech missile unless it's given to them by a high-tech country.
Right.
And that would be Russia.
Yeah.
And so for Vladimir Putin to say he doesn't have any involvement with what happened with the downing of that jetliner, he's absolutely, like most other things, out to lunch. But Seth, I think it goes to a bigger point. What kind of response does America and American leaders have when these kind of global events take place? We've seen often, especially, you know, conservatives, if you watch Fox, you see what Ronald Reagan did in 1983. It is strong, tough language. It's right. A rallying of our allies. And with this president, whether it's, you know, and again, we're doing crisis after crisis now. I mean, we would have been talking yesterday morning on the crisis on the border. And before that, Bo Bergdahl, and then ISIS and the burning of Iraq and then Syria. And I mean,
IRS,
there's only Benghazi, the crises
go on. There's too many to keep track of right now.
And we go from one to the other. But what's really key here is that you need strong American leadership.
Yeah.
And when America retreats from the world stage, as Barack Obama thought, if we did, the world would be a more harmonious place. When we retreat, there's a vacuum, and in that vacuum is filled by people who don't agree with us, with our same morals and values, yeah. And we have big problems.
It was the president addressing West Point, I believe. He said something to the effect of, the policy that he has put forth contains Russia. Well, let's look at the containment.
Right.
Bashar al-Assad in Syria is not contained, and he is basically backed by Russia. Putin said very clearly to the United States, no, you are not going to force him out. He's going to stay right where he is. And look, he stayed right where he is. Russia has told Iran that, oh, you guys are having an issue with the Americans getting involved with you developing nuclear power? Not a problem. We can help you with that. We'll be more than happy to help you with that. Iraq, Russia has gotten involved and said, oh, you guys need military equipment? You need weapons? Not a problem. We can do that. When we are on the verge of doing some really good stuff in Afghanistan, Russia convinces the neighboring country, and it drops out of my head right now, to close our base there. So that we don't have a clear line of supply in and out. Russia is not contained. Russia is calling the shots. Russia, when the president of the United States says that we are shaping world policy and world opinion and containing Russia, he's lying.
Or
he's completely misinformed. I vote for lying. You don't have to agree with me. I vote for lying because he's not containing Russia. He is not shaping world opinion and politics. We are following. We are behind the eight ball. We are not making the decisions. We are reacting to the decisions being made by Putin.
And when we react with weakness. Or not we, I should say the president reacts with weakness.
Yes.
So, I mean, listen, the American voters are going to have a chance in November to potentially switch out the Senate, take out Harry Reid and get some conservative leadership in the Senate so we can start dropping bills on the president's desk, mm-hmm. trying to push him mm-hmm. In a little different direction. But we have another, we have another 3 years with this president. And I'm telling you, look how bad it's gotten this far in.
What's the next
God
years
help
be?
Us what happens over the next 3 years. That's right.
Then the other issue, and then we're going to get to some other things
like
that
Tom was running the country.
He just shakes his head. I hate to say this, but I
love Tom. Sorry.
I would sure. put forth a constitutional amendment to make Congress irrelevant at this point because you guys, both Democrats and Republicans, are basically in the way and getting nothing done. Being blunt about it.
Unfortunately, Sean doesn't have his headphones on just yet.
Unfortunate.
To be honest with you, not being able to hear Tom is a blessing.
It's not a bad thing.
He just said that if he were ruling the world, he would put forth a resolution that says that Congress is irrelevant. You guys aren't getting anything done. Basically, he just insulted you, but that's okay. Don't worry about that. The other thing I want to bring up is Israel has ramped up and is giving Hamas in the Gaza area, giving Hamas a lesson in we've had enough.
Yep.
Hamas has thousands of rocket attacks into Israel over the last several weeks, injuring, killing women, children, innocent individuals. Russia warned them, Israel warned them, said we've had enough, stop. They offered a peace resolution saying, okay, we'll enter into another ceasefire. Hamas flat out rejected Israel's peace offering. And so Israel said, fine, you don't want to have peace? Then you're going to have the opposite. Here it comes. And Israel is Israel is doing what I think Israel should have been doing to begin with. And I had this brief conversation earlier. Do you think Israel is asking President Obama if they can have permission to take care of business?
Yeah, not at all. Because you know what the answer would be? No.
No, no, no. You have to stand. We can't allow it. Israel's like, no, we're not asking anymore.
And maybe we should have a beer summit or something like that. Well, but
so any information?
I would tell you. Listen, you peace can't be a one-way street. Peace is two foes coming together and going, we're gonna stand together and stand
work
down.
Up.
That's right. But if Hamas is unagreeable, Israel's left with another choice. And you know what? They will have peace because eventually Hamas will cry uncle. But it only comes through strength. And they're exerting the strength right now. And the technology. I mean, you look at the power of the Iron Dome, where these missiles come in and they're able to hit a bullet with a bullet and protect their people. 90% accuracy. Technology matters. And it started in America. They perfected it, and it's working for them.
This is something that you made very, very clear mention of and that I've brought up before. Israel is respected. They may not be liked. Matter of fact, Israel is hated by most of the Muslim world and the Arab world. Hated. They would like to see Israel wiped off the face of the earth. But most people know better. You hit them with a rock, they come back with a bullet. You throw a rocket at them, all hell breaks loose on you. Leave Israel alone. There is respect. And we are losing that respect because we are trying to be this, everybody feels good, everybody is, we're all on the same playing field, we can all get along in the sandbox. No, we can't. No, we can't.
It's a dangerous world, that's right.
All right, Sean, when we get back, you've got some very important things that are you're involved with. I will quit talking, and I'll give the floor to you. How about that?
Game on, brother.
All right, WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News Feedback. We'll be right back.
The news station, AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
We are not going to be taking phone calls for the next segment, maybe two segments, as we've got a lot of very important things to talk about with Congressman Sean Duffy, who is in the studio with us. All right, Congressman, you mentioned, as we were talking about the issue with Israel and the Malaysian airliner, one of the things that you mentioned was the actions of the president and how we, as the citizenry, through our voting and so forth, have to take responsibility and we have to do something. We have to take action. All right. That reminds me that Speaker of the House, Mr. Boehner, has filed a lawsuit of types against the president regarding the executive powers that he is I wouldn't say utilizing, I would say overusing, overstepping his powers. What information, how is that coming along? And the critique is, why are you guys doing this? It's not going to have any effect. What's the big deal?
And I hear that quite a bit, but let me just maybe explain what's happening here. One, we're going to vote on the House possibly next week or the week after, and the whole House will vote. If we have a majority vote, the lawsuit will move forward.
Okay.
Traditionally, the president has had wide latitude with regard to protecting the American homeland, national defense. Think war powers.
Okay.
All presidents have used that. President Obama has used those powers as well. What's different is the president has taken what has traditionally been done on protecting the homeland, and he's applied it to domestic policy. Think this. So the Congress passes laws. The president signs those laws, and he takes an oath to defend those laws.
Right.
Well, what he's done is a couple big things that give us great concern. One, we had work requirements in the Welfare to Work Reform of 1996. The president has unilaterally waived the work requirements, suspended the work requirements of that law, legitimately passed by Congress.
Okay, now this is not something that is widely talked about in the news. When did this happen?
This was a couple of years ago. He suspended them, but we talked about it at that point.
Right.
But it was unilateral action changing the law that was passed by unenforcement.
Okay, and that, if the law is going to be changed, that amendment has to go through Congress.
Congress changes laws, not the president, right? Okay. He enforces the law, but we make the law. And if he unilaterally changes the law, we undermine the whole system, and I'll get to what can happen on the slippery slope. But just a couple other examples. The Uniform Controlled Substance Act. It's illegal to sell drugs in America.
Right.
The state of Colorado, I'm a 10th Amendment guy. I want to make sure we have state rights. But
Colorado, Washington State have now said it's not exactly legal, but personal use, et cetera, they're it's not going to crack down on it. Right.
So the president unilaterally, by himself, changes how he suspends federal law. So those in Colorado can actually sell and smoke marijuana without fear of being prosecuted by the federal government.
Right. And we talked about this. The Justice Department under Eric Holder realized that there was a real problem, that these businesses that are opening up, that are selling weed, are a cash business.
That's right.
And so in order, at the end of the day, they want to go make their deposit into the bank to make sure that they can do business. And the banks have, up to this point, were saying, no, 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 that's drug money. Right. State law may say you can sell it, but federal law still says I can't launder it.
And so they suspend the law again and say, we want to work with the banks so they can take the drug money.
Okay, listen, so they didn't change it. They just suspended prosecution and enforcement of the law.
Right, which is, in essence, so if you don't enforce the law, but by regulation you change it, you make it something else, you're not the Congress has to be consulted, has to change those laws. Think of this. If the president can suspend or waive any law, think of this. Some conservatives might go, well, listen, I don't like a certain tax in the tax code. I, as a president, am going to just suspend a certain portion of the tax code, and we're not going to collect that tax.
Well, that would
you'd
be
go,
fine.
Well, hold on a second. But no, but
well, it would be okay if we were under like an empirical ruler, yeah, or if it was a tyrannical situation. But a republic doesn't work that way.
It doesn't, and so our fear is that if we don't push back on this, and this becomes the executive power from this point moving forward to future presidents, you've undermined the whole Congress. And if you've undermined the Congress, you've undermined, listen, in Wausau, you have Tammy Baldwin, Ron Johnson, and Sean Duffy. Mm-hmm. If we don't have a voice in Washington and all you have is Barack Obama, your voice has been muted. Because we're the closest to everyone here, and we're taking the ideas and the issues back and fighting for our home communities.
Well, that,
and we're getting the runaround.
The end game is, what authority at that point do the laws actually have?
No, exactly. Well,
if the laws can be changed at an individual's whim, they have no authority. There is no reason to obey them.
They have the authority which is given to them by the executive, which means there is no authority. Which means Congress is a supervisory branch.
Okay.
Not co-equal.
We ran long the first section. We're going to be short this segment. You can stick around for the next
segment.
Absolutely. All right. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. Feedback. We'll be right back.
The Wisconsin Morning News to start your day. Feedback at 8. The biggest talkers. And did we mention baseball? There's only one station that delivers it all. Every day. AM 550. FM 99.9. WSAU.